Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
So does a glimpse of lime green set off a light bulb in anyone's minds? Are you a girl? Have you been getting your fill of recession pop? If so, you may be having a brat summer. And if all that just sounds like a complete word salad to you, then you're not having a brat summer, obviously. But luckily for you, podcaster Fionnuala Jones is in our Cork studio to explain all about the brat movement and the brat aesthetic. Good afternoon, Fionnuala.
Good afternoon, Brendan. Happy Brat Sunday to you and yours.
Happy Brat to you too. So this all stems from an album by Charlie XCX. So I think we probably need to explain her to people a little bit first to understand the general brat movement. You've been a long time fan. She's around a while, isn't she? But something broke through for her this year, Charlie XCX.
Yeah, she has been around a while. Half British, half Indian pop star, but has kind of lived on the fringes as long as she's been a pop star. It's very much kind of, you're either into it, very into it, which I am, or you might only associate her with kind of songs she's previously written. Like, she's written Iconopop's I Love It, which people definitely know, Senorita by Camila Cabello.
And well, she wrote that.
Right. Yeah, she wrote that, and she had the song back in 2014 from the Fault in Our Stars soundtrack, Boom Clap. I feel like people either associate her with that, or else, as I said, they're very into her musically and all the albums, and they've followed her journey. She's kind of like, she has all the makings of a main pop girl. Like, she has the aesthetic, she has the bops, she has the personal narrative, but she's just never been able to climb to the commercial and we'll say maybe critical heights of the likes of, you know, your Taylor Swift's, your Beyonce, stuff like that.
Yeah, so then it did feel like, even before Brat came out, it felt like that it was either going to happen for her this year or not. I suppose it was a bit make or break for her, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely, because like, she's 31 at this point and she's been very relentless and very committed in terms of album rollouts. She had an album during the pandemic, How I'm Feeling Now, which was very critically acclaimed, but again, pandemic, weird time, didn't really happen for her then. And then following that, she had a concept album called Crash, which was all about, you know, having a go at being a pop star, being a mainstream pop girl. And again, it did well and like was critically well received, but she didn't have the kind of breakthrough that we're seeing now with Brat, as you said. And even when the singles rollout started happening, as a fan, I was kind of listening and I was a bit worried because it just seemed like, again, while I liked the songs, it felt like we were getting a lot of the same. And then the album came out and honestly, it felt a bit revelatory, to be honest, in terms of the songwriting, the sounds. It's 100% my album of the year. It's such an achievement for her and I'm delighted she's finally getting this recognition on this scale.
Yeah, with Fionnuala, you will find if you were listening to this show when Von Dutch, the first single, came out in January or February or whenever it was, I said I think it's going to be a big year for Charlie XCX. And look, I obviously didn't come up with that myself. It was obviously in the ether or something, was it?
Oh, 100%. I think she's a pop star that people constantly root for. Like, her fans are always like backing her and kind of constantly declaring her as being criminally underrated, and I'd be the same. So again, just to say, like, to see her have the success and have it become this kind of monocultural moment, as you said, for anyone that's not familiar, the Brat album is this lime green, like really garish green colour with just Brat in the most like simple typeface written on it. So now it's at a point where if people see things that are green, people are referring to it as Brat coded, you know, that's so Brat. Like, people can't see me, obviously, radio, not a visual medium. I'm wearing a lime green jacket that I bought for this segment because Brat coded, you know what I mean?
It's okay, just, so it's lime green is her colour now, like?
Oh, 100%. Like, it's kind of rotted my brain to the point where if a green car drives past me under my breath, I'm like, oh my God, Brat car.
The thing is, I do remember seeing the album cover and thinking, this is a bit basic. Like, it looks like somebody would have done on a Spectrum computer like 20 years ago or whatever. Is that the idea, like?
Yeah, 100%. Because when the album cover initially came out, I think there was a backlash to it, that it was so simple, that it was just like, why that green? It's a little bit ugly. But Charlie, in the wake of the release of the album, like, talked about the fact that, you know, she pored over like what type of green to use, what specific typeface to use. She's a very dedicated pop star. I think she likes to let on that she doesn't care, and I think she doesn't care what people think about her, but she does care about her art. Like, she's extremely particular about the choices she makes. She's very precious about her work, and I think maybe that's the reason why she hasn't gotten the kind of breakout moment before now, because people look at her and people listen to the music and people can often still be very dismissive of pop music. But what she's doing is incredibly innovative, incredibly vulnerable in a way that I personally don't think we've seen before, at least haven't seen in a very long time.
So explain to me then more broadly, what is the kind of Brat aesthetic and the Brat ethos, like, how is it playing out on the streets, so to speak, Fiona?
Okay, so the Brat aesthetic, obviously we've mentioned the green, but it is kind of about like not caring. It's about having fun. It's about finding joy in the small things. It's not about consumerism. It's not about going out and buying green things to fit an aesthetic, or, you know, like spending lots of money. It's about kind of swindling your way and doing things as cheaply as possible with an air of chaos. And just going back to that thing of like, it's fun, we're having fun, it's not that serious. Like, just live your life, don't spend lots of money, stay out all night. Doesn't matter if you haven't showered for 3 days, it's fine, we're going out. Like, that's the vibe, that's Brat.
You see, no, the people my age are thinking, oh yeah, remember the Ladettes were they in the 80s or the 90s or whatever?
Yes, 100%. Like, actually, Louise Bruton has written a really good post in her Substack about this, about the fact that every generation has kind of had their own Brat era. Even this can be linked back to like 2004, you know, with the Van Dutch caps and the, like, you know, the visible tong strings and diamantes, stuff like that. This is just it kind of packaged in a new way. It's just about kind of going out, going after it, thinking about the consequences after, and just having a laugh and embracing it all, I think.
But this isn't an organic kind of explosion. It's Charlie XCX's very clever marketing, and she's manipulating everyone, is she?
I mean, there's a bit of that. It goes back to that thing of her, you know, being really specific about what she wanted this aesthetic to be and what she wanted this album campaign to be and how she wanted people to embrace it. But I do think it has become a bit organic. I think she's just very, very clever, is very in touch with her fan base, and it goes back to how much her fan base roots for her and like wants her to be the main pop girl. Like, yes, she's lived on the fringes and she has been kind of a niche pop girl in the sense of she'll always have people who'll follow her to the ends of the earth and she will be successful in her own way. But people want her to have this monocultural moment, and she has. And it goes back to that thing of people seeing the green and being like, oh my God, Charlie, yes, you know what I mean? So I think she's very clever. She's a very clever girl. Don't underestimate Charlie.
Okay, so she had her kind of tribe then who were kind of into her particular energy and vibe already. But obviously what you're saying now is it's gone mainstream this summer. And everything's about timing too, isn't it? Why were people ready, do you think, for this now?
I think people are growing very disillusioned with the inaccessible pop star and the kind of the narratives around, you know, the simple narratives around falling in love, or, you know, I find when pop stars talk about fame in particular or success, it's very much like being famous is actually really hard and you don't get it. Like, it's actually not that great. Whereas like with Charlie's
and
album.
And mean songs about your ex-boyfriends as well?
A little bit of that, yeah. And that's not to say that Charlie doesn't do that, and she has done it on Brat. Like, there are love songs, but it is like there's very honest moments about how she's talking like very explicitly. She's having all these conversations all her fans are already having about her. Like, she's talking about her own standing within the industry, questioning whether any of it matters. Like, should she be pursuing other things within her life, like having children? Like, is she missing out on having children by pursuing this career? You know, she talks about how difficult she finds the competitive female industry-ness of it all, that it's like, if you don't like every woman in the industry, you're a bad feminist, which just isn't the case. You know, it's, she's having these conversations and putting it back to us, the listener, I think, knowing that we're having these conversations about her and other pop stars, which I think is fascinating and makes her really accessible in comparison to some of her peers.
Yeah, so like, you might think a simple way is thinking, is she the anti-Taylor Swift? But in a way, she's doing similar to what Taylor Swift is doing, but just maybe for a different kind of girl. Is that it?
I think there's a bit of that. And look, she's been very vocal because I think some of her fans have taken this too far and they've gone to shows and they're chanting things against Taylor Swift. She's come out and called
okay,
that out.
Right.
Yeah, she's come out and called that out. But yeah, I do just think it's, we want more from our pop stars. And I think she recognises that. And I think it's also, as much as she's talking about, you know, her standing in the industry and whether Billboard charts matter and stuff like that, that's not stuff that I necessarily can relate to because I am not a pop star, even though I desperately want to be. But as a woman in an industry, there are things that I can take from that because I know I've had my own difficulties looking at other women getting opportunities. And again, there's this expectation that it's like, you're a feminist, you should be rooting for everyone. And obviously that's the healthy, better choice. But sometimes you just have to give into your mind and be a bit annoyed, and that struggle, I think that's what's resonated with me most with this album, I think.
Okay, everyone probably knows Apple. We'll play a bit of Apple now. Just explain to me the Apple phenomenon.
Oh, Apple was kind of considered the worst song on the album, and then this TikTok creator whose name escapes me, she made this dance for the song and it has blown up. When I say everyone is doing it online, it's crazy.
Okay, Finola Jones, thank you very much. And we just take it. Here's a bit of, you'll recognise this when you hear it because you've seen the dance. I can practically do it myself at this stage. This is Charlie XCX and Apple.
RTE.ie.